Hello and welcome to another You May or May Not Like It. This is another of our board game editions, and today we'll be talking to you about The King of Tokyo on Yellow Game. Yes, Brian had to tell me how to pronounce it because I would have said Aiello, but Brian said, no, it's yellow, it's French, and you're an idiot. And I was like, okay, whatever. Anyways, you have to combine your dice together to gather energy, heal your monster, or just slap the other monsters down. Spend your energy to trigger permanent or one-shot special powers, a second head, body armor, Nova Death Ray, whatever you can get. Stop at nothing to become the King of Tokyo, but that's when the real trouble begins. So let's go back to, my name is Scott, and I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. And we're here with Mike, you can find on Twitter at ReviewAndRoast. You can find all of our stuff at ReviewAndRoast.com and listen to all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. Now let's get into this and find out who's the king of the pot. So, this is, if you're not familiar with the game, I would assume you probably live in a bubble, because at this point, I mean, you can get it just about anywhere. Target, probably.
I mean, it's not like Monopoly.
It's at Target. It's probably at Walmart. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at any comic book store that's worth their weight in salt. You sure about that?
I went to Walmart like a month and a half ago to see if they had improved their game selection, because I heard they were on the verge of doing the same thing, and no, it still sucks. I mean, in a pinch, you can go there and get Ticket to Ride or Pandemic, a game I highly recommend you don't buy, but that's because I hate it.
I still never played that. I mean, I don't know what the hubbub is.
If you buy it, I will play it just so I could see the look on your face and you go, oh, that was
we should have just played enough. Defenders of the Realm.
Yeah.
So, anywho, this game is fairly widely available. It's not terribly expensive. And it literally comes with a 4-page rule book that you can read through in a matter of about 2 minutes. It's super simple to play.
Yeah, once you get the gist of it, it's there's nothing to it.
Yeah, I mean, the board at this point is kind of just for the sake of having a board. I mean, it's literally you just put your guy on Tokyo. Now you're the king of Tokyo. And when everyone rolls their dice and they get smash, they hit you. And when you roll smash, you hit everybody. You get points for being in Tokyo. You get points for some of the cards you can buy with the energy. You get, but anywho, everyone I would assume is fairly familiar. It's a pretty popular game, so let's score it and get out of here. Holy cow, that was loud.
Wasn't me.
So yeah, actually, this actually is one of the games that you see. We've been seeing for years, and no one's ever bought it. Brian finally got it maybe 2 months ago. Actually, that's a good story. Why don't you tell him why you got it?
Yeah. All right. So I decided that this Christmas was going to be a little bit on the rough side financially for some reason. I don't know why I thought that, but I just did.
Because you're broke?
Because I'm broke. That's pretty much how that works. Anyway, there was a sale at Target, and I was trying to get a jump start on Christmas gifts back in early November. I was like, oh, you know that? I'll get that King of Tokyo game for my 7-year-old nephew. He'll probably think it's awesome, and then I'll get a chance to actually play it, and that'll be like killing two birds with one stone. Fast forward about a month and a half later, he sees the YouTube video of the WWE board game. He wants that, and I'm like, fuck, I can't. I'm done. So I was like, what do I do? I'm like, all right, I'll take King of Tokyo back. I know one place that has the WWE game. I'll just swap it out, basically. So I did that, got him the very last copy of the WWE game, brought King of Tokyo back to Target, and as I'm handing it to the girl, I'm like, I fucking still want to play it. I'm sure it's not that great, but I still want to play it. So I was like, you know what? I'll get it. So I kept it, brought it back to the house, played about 12 games of it in a row, and I was like, God damn, I think I like this game. Like, I really like this game. So there you know. You already know I'm going to give it better than a 5. But yeah, we were just like, holy crap, this game's super easy, and it's stupidly fun. The best way I could describe the game, in a pinch, it is 70% luck and 30% wanking guitar solos. That's like the best way I could describe that game in a sense.
It's pretty close.
Because, I mean, there is like almost zero strategy.
There's legitimately no strategy.
The only strategy, the only thing you need to think about is, do you want to push your luck? And I guess it comes down back to luck, but do you want to push your luck and stay in Tokyo for another turn?
Yeah.
Or do you want to get out now?
Or you roll one energy, like say if that one energy card, like for example, the second head card, which is 7 energy, you're not going to get it on one roll, you know, one set of die roll. You're going to have to at least have 2 solid turns to get that. Do you roll, if you roll one energy and 5 paws, just to say, or whatever, their footprints, you roll one energy and 5 footprints, you could do 5 damage to somebody, but you really want that second head card still early in the game. Do you take back those 5 hits and go for, you know, more energy, or do you, you know, you gotta, that's about as strategic as it gets.
Yeah. It's mostly dice roll luck and what you're gonna do, basically.
I feel like the scoring points in a die is pretty meh. Like, if you get 3 threes and then you roll another set of threes, now maybe it's worth doing, but I don't know. When you roll 3 ones, especially on the first try, that's almost like a waste. You might as well just keep rolling.
I think they just had to do with something with the other 3 sides of the dice. Otherwise, I find them.
There you go.
Except for some cards play with the different sides. You know, 2, 2, 2. Instead of scoring points, you get an ability or whatnot. Other than that, I never did the dice. But I also, maybe that's my problem.
I won one today.
I did.
I'll go for points with the die if I got no other options.
Yeah, the only time I really take points with the die is if I happen to roll 3 threes on the last. That's about it for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to take them. Like, no, fuck those. I don't want them. I mean, you can, I guess. Be weird.
Yeah. Although there's the one card where if you roll one side of every die, you get 9 points. And I've had this card a few times, and I've only been able to do it once. Today, I got the card and did it twice back to back like a boss.
Yeah, I still think that card's stupid.
Because you suck with it.
I never got it.
The only thing that complaints I really have with this game, this podcast right now, is the fact that we have expansions here that we haven't played, so we can't really talk about those.
Well, we're going to do separate episodes for those. That's why.
Well, I thought we were going to do it all today, but
nope.
I was misled.
You were definitely misled.
Well, we never played them. We weren't going to.
Not to mention, I kind of effed up with the power-up expansion. The power-up expansion really only applies to the original first printing of the game. They've swapped characters between the first and second printings, but they are releasing individual characters from the first game for sale this spring or summer. So you will be, the characters that are missing that the cards in the power-up expansion apply to, you'll be able to use them once that like mini expansion comes out, I think in like April. So once I get that, then the power-up expansion will actually be playable. Right now, there's only one character out of like the 4 in that box that you can use, which is kind of lame.
Yeah.
Because there's like 50 cards in there. You can only really use 10 of them right now because I have a second edition of the game. Power-up expansion is based on the first edition.
How do we get the first edition?
Spend $40 to go buy it or wait for the 2 characters that were swapped out because I guess Cthulhu's in the first game. He's not in this one. He was replaced by Mecha Dragon, maybe? And I think Space Penguin's new. He wasn't in the first game. So, but they're going to re-release those 2 first characters again with the sets of cards.
That's kind of weird they would do that. I don't know.
Dude, I don't know what people are thinking. Yeah. No one listens to me.
What?
Yeah, see?
You guys talking? I mean, really?
We just dancing a little.
Man, the game is really fun, but there's really not a lot of meat and potatoes here to.
Yeah, but let's get to the coolest thing about the game.
I'm all ears.
The upgrade cards we talked about.
Yeah.
Fairly substantial stack, and there are no doubles.
Yeah. That, for the first like 3 or 4 times we played this game, I'm like, dude, when he's got that cool card, when am I going to get that cool card?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the only one.
You taint gonna.
Yeah, that baffled me for the first like 10 times we played the game. Like, dude, how did they come up with like 70 different power? How many cards were in the box?
Yeah, I don't know.
68, I think.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking powers.
There's a pretty decent amount of not doubles. Yeah, there's a, that could easily have been 25% of the cards and just 4 of each one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which would have been super. I mean, it still would be fun, but you know.
It totally wouldn't be bad, but it wouldn't be.
But now that you know, my God.
Yeah.
Well, there are some games where, like, cards have doubles and triples and even quadruples where towards the end of the game you're like, I can't really do anything with this other than just score the basic bare-bones amount of points the card's worth, which is really, at that point, you're just buying points just to try and get an edge, which can kind of suck the life out of a game at the end.
Oh, true. Totally.
Yeah. Marvel Legendary kind of has that problem a little bit every now and again. Not often, but sometimes it does, like with some of the easier schemes especially.
Yeah, that game can be super unforgiving, but we'll get to that when we do that sometime this year.
Pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Well, if we're going in order. Nope.
Pretty soon.
It's like 6 months away.
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
But
sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I got nothing. Like, does anyone know anything about King of Tokyo or King of New York? Is it the same thing, just in New York?
I guess King of New York has more strategy because there's more areas on the board to control.
And yeah, they probably played differently. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but why?
It's hard to speculate.
You're doing it.
No, you asked about. But if there's I know there's four locations to be, whereas this game there's only two.
And then this game, the two only come into play if you have, what, five or more players?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I wish I had more to say, but, I mean, we pretty much, unless you guys got something.
No, there's not much to the game. I mean, I feel like we're actually all the way to it. I mean, basically, it's...
So what did you like about it, Brian, first?
The fact that I had low expectations for the game, and this is going to sound weird, it met those low expectations, but in the best of ways. Because I was like, I don't know, $40 for a game that I hear is super easy, has like barely any strategy, if nothing at all. It's literally just monsters slap fighting against one another. I feel like I'm paying $40 for a like modified pillow fight. And I'm like, is this going to be worth $40? It turned out, yeah, it's worth $40. It totally is. It's an ILO game, which means the components are going to be top-notch, the artwork.
Yellow.
Good call. It's a yellow game. I-E-L-L-O. This is going to sound stupid, because I have a few games from Yellow. They do this thing on all their box art that I fucking love. From the bottom right corner comes a little bloop with a little circle and the yellow logo. From the top left comes three bloop 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 that tells you how many players and the amount of time the game takes. And the age range, right in the front. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to guess. Because some games, I like to look at that stuff. Sometimes, especially when I'm in the spendy kind of mood, if I'm going to spend more than $30 on a game, like say if I'm going to go buy a Forbidden Stars, for example, I want a game that's going to take a minute. I'm not spending $80 for a game that lasts 15 minutes. Like some of these deduction games that like you need 8 players and they last 10 minutes. That game better be fucking $10, or there's no way I'm spending the money. If I'm going to spend Scythe or Forbidden Stars or Defenders of the Realm money, I want an hour minimum. And Yellow doesn't have a lot of games in their catalog like that, but they have a couple, and they put it right in the front where you cannot miss it. And that is a huge like upside for me, because then I don't have to even like go turning the box around looking for the thing in the corner. It's like right there. You don't even have to pick it up. And this game tells you exactly what it is right off the front, which I love. The gigantic dice are great. We'll get to that. And the plethora of cards is also pretty good.
So now that Brian's picked everything about the game
Do
you want to... I like the board.
I was going to say I like the box art, but I guess I'm a fucking asshole. No, I actually, well, you guys know that I
like totals.
Me personally, I either like the epic or I like the quick hitter. So, like, this is obviously a quick game for the most part. I mean, we've never played it with 5 or 6 players even, but we've done 3-player multiple times, 2-player a couple of times.
And 4?
I never did.
No, it was Jeff, Max, you and I.
Yep.
But... 2-player actually is a decent game, and not that there's any more strategy or less, but you definitely get a few more cards because everything takes a little bit longer because you're not messing around. So it's a nice, just like Draxia, it's easy to set up, easy to play, and quick to replay. It's not like it, you know, how many games do we have where even if you wanted to replay right after you just played Belfort, it takes another 10 minutes just to get everything. You know what I mean? For this game, it's like, yeah, shovel the cards, put them right there, and let's go.
I mean, with the simple fact
I always like that.
That none of the cards are the same, you don't even got to shuffle them. Just put ones you used off to the sides and go through the deck, which I think we should try that.
And as you saw, that's what we should have did because we just played 3 games, and I had the extra die all 3 games.
And he only won once, so it's not that important.
It didn't hurt.
This game... It's just stupid fun. It really is. I don't even know how else to put it. It's It's a slap fight race to the top is basically all it is. It's
pretty close.
So, you know, like it's been said by everyone here at the table a million times in the last 5 minutes, components are great. It's super fun, super easy to set up. You know, you're still waiting for, you know, this guy who's always late to show up. You can easily pull this out and just run through two or three games waiting. It's a really solid pick. And
plus, with, like I said, the nephew starting to get into gaming a little bit, like, I feel like I could teach this one to them relatively quick.
Yeah, the only thing is a couple of the cards might be a little confusing for the youngsters.
But, let's face it, Brian was a little confused by some of the cards, but I mean,
Brian's confused.
I don't even know what a card is, to be honest with you. I look at it and I stare.
I don't
at it
know. Like, it's just a white back. That's the sleeve.
I feel like one of the apes in 2001: A Space Odyssey, staring at that bone for like 10 minutes, going, "Huh," and then throwing it, banging against my head.
I guess now we'll move into what we didn't like about it. And I'm going to go first because I'm the host and I do what I want. Now I'm not saying it's bad, but I do kind of think the dice are a little too big. It's hard enough to try and roll 6 gigantic dice, but especially when you're trying to roll 7 gigantic dice, like, now you got to get the 2 hands out. You got to, like, I don't know, it's just, they don't have to be normal size. I get you want, you know, the whole, like, monster kaiju type of feel to it, and that's probably why they got the big dice, but, like, I feel like they could be a little smaller. So I feel like a lot of kids are going to play this game, and it's hard enough for, like, me with my man hands to roll.
Yeah, but they roll 2-handed roll.
I'm just saying, you could get the shrink ray out and just half them in size. And
I think they should be bigger.
You're lucky we're recording right now.
I agree. Two things. One, I think it's 2 energy cubes. You spend 2 energy cubes to wipe the board and put 3 new cards out, correct?
Yes, correct.
I like that you can do that. And the reason why I like it is, part of my gripe is there are some cards that you look at, I've seen them come out multiple times, where I look at these cards and I go, I can't picture a scenario where I'm ever going to want this. There are some cards that, I mean, they give you some benefit, obviously, because they're there, but I feel like the benefit is minimal at best.
A lot of those are very, very, very situation specific. Like, you get 2 points, but you lose 2 health. You're not going to buy that card unless you only need 2 points to win.
Right, and I feel like there are, and those cards cost generally 3 energy, and then sometimes it'll be sitting next to a card that costs 3 energy that's much better. And it just, I look at that card and I go, I can think that maybe 9 out of 10 times this card is going straight to the dumpster.
I'll tell you right now exactly what card is absolutely stupid and useless. It costs 8 energy, and it gives you 9 energy that you have to spend right now. That, to me, is just ridiculously stupid card.
Until you have 8 energy and there's an awesome 9 energy card right next to it.
I feel like the chances of that are so slim to none.
And I don't think you have to spend 9 energy right now.
Because of the card you have to discard.
Yeah, you get 9 energy, so put 9 energy in front of you. True story.
Well, true story. Why don't you true story some what you don't like about the game?
I like everything about the game, so...
Well, your problem is you weren't prepared for the what you didn't like about it question, so...
I did not like anything
Mike
about it.
Mike gets one less point for this episode.
There's nothing I didn't like about it.
That's lying.
Minus 1.
It's not really. I just didn't like that I didn't win.
So, I guess we're going to move into...
You really should stop doing that.
Well, if he wasn't being stupid.
What do you mean? I'm fucking talking.
Sometimes being stupid makes for the best moments of comedy. Well,
first of all, I wasn't being fucking stupid. Second of all... You asked me to talk, and then
here we go
fucking
with
mute
fucking
me.
Soundboard. Fucking
yeah.
Hey, if you want to sit in the power chair,
soundboard Noriega.
I don't want to sit in the power chair.
Boom.
80s reference. So, all right. So, if what would you do differently in this game, Brian?
Like I said, first edition to second edition, there was at least one. I think though there were 2 characters that were swapped out, which kind of fucks up the power up expansion. For someone like me who bought the second edition, I feel like there should be some kind of thing to mitigate that situation, because that's super annoying, because I did not realize that until
after.
So
did that expansion come out before the second edition came out? It had to.
Second edition just came out this fall, so it's only...
Yeah, why would they make a second edition after an expansion that doesn't correlate with the expansion?
Well, the whole thing is like, ooh, we got updated artwork or whatever the hell, and fine, but... I mean, Space Penguin is awesome, but maybe I want a Cthulhu. I don't know. I'm just saying there should have been something to fix that. And I know they're coming with it, but they should have kind of, there should have been a sticker on the box saying like only applies to first edition currently something. That just, it's annoying. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I know they do this with a lot, because I know there's a thing with Talisman. You can buy the new, well, it's not new now, but you could buy the fourth edition, or you can buy the upgrade kit for your third edition game, which is so annoying to me.
I'm sorry, dude. The base game should always be the base game. It should never change.
Yeah, if you change the base game, that's defeats the expansion.
Yeah, so I just, I don't know.
Yeah, like, why would you come out with a fourth edition and not an expansion, other than the fact that you want to charge people $90?
Or second edition, they should have did like a limited edition for $50. It's the expansion with the second edition game all in one box.
That's how they do it for like video games and shit now, when you buy them on, you know, the network store or whatever. Like, you can buy it base, or you could buy the whole thing all together. It's never, I don't see why they wouldn't do that. Especially if they come out with an edition after an expansion that doesn't, like, that's what I just...
Well, plus part of the reason was...
I mean, that's not something I wouldn't change about this edition.
Well, what would you change about this edition?
Well, just real quick, the part of the thing, what made me really want to get the second edition, is they said the dice on the first edition, all the icons were printed on the dice, so they have a tendency to wear off after time. Where they said this one, the numbers and symbols are embedded in, so there's none of that. I was like, well, if that's the case, then I'd rather have the newer dice.
Right.
So that was part of the motivation to get the second edition, and then finding out the power-up expansion doesn't work, it was like, all right, well, that's stupid.
True that.
Oh, my turn?
Yup.
You can't point on the radio.
I could if you were paying attention, and yeah, it's not radio.
I don't need to be paying attention to you.
Interwebs.
Anyways, the only thing I would change is I would make the characters actually mean something. Oh, was that yours?
Yeah. That's the only thing that
makes
sense.
Don't fucking point at me then. But yeah, basically nobody actually has any attribute.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to any monster. So, okay, there you go. If you're not going to have every monster have a special ability, then you should literally have 50 monsters in that box, because they make... It's just a cardboard.
And then why would it matter
picture
for the expansion versus a character? Unless right. The expansions give the characters attributes, maybe. Or, having said all that... Maybe the expansions have cards that go in the deck that are specifically help one character more than another.
Yeah, but that's super simple, because they just go, oh, spend 2 energy, get rid of that card, go yourself.
I guess. But what if Nova Breath is only good for, you know, the cat and the penguin, but you got the gorilla? You know what I'm saying? So you could either get rid of it, or, you know, there could be some strategy if some of the cards were specific to more than one.
Yeah.
But not all.
True.
Or maybe did a little something for everybody, you know, basically different. You know, there's some things you could probably tinker with.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all I got.
Well, since I was pretty much going to say the same thing, I guess we could just move this right along to numbers.
I give it 2.
Isn't it the number 2 game in
my
life?
Well, no, because when he asked Mike what he didn't like, he said there's nothing he didn't like about it. So that's a 10 for Mike.
It's not a 10. Not even close.
Well, then somebody give me something.
I'm waiting on this guy. He's thinking.
No, I'm not thinking. I give it an 8.5 on the website. I'm sticking with 8.5. It's super fun, super easy. I have no complaints. It doesn't have that extra bit to give it a 9 or higher, but it's definitely a super quality game, and I think anyone who likes it is going to want it in their collection, and it's probably going to, as I will. Unless King of New York kicks its ass, and then I'll have to think on that for...
I'm going to give it a 7, because... Just for what it is, I mean, it's not, it is just a silly little game. You know what I mean? And having said that, I mean, I'm going to buy King of New York for sure, because I actually really, 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 really do enjoy playing the game. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's not some deep, I mean, it's fun in 15 minutes. So,
yeah.
I mean, I can't give it a
It's a 10. Fun with friends.
You know what I mean?
That it is.
Maybe it is more fun with like 5 or 6 people, maybe. I don't know.
Probably would be. I'll split the difference and go 7.7.
7.775.
Can I give it like 7?
Well, I was going to go 7.5, but then I was like, yeah, it's not quite an 8, but it's really not quite a 7.5.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's really good, but
it's really simple.
It's just, this is what it is. You know, for a game of this type, I think that's a pretty good score for me.
King of Tokyo, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, there you have it. We're going to have a special one for you next week, but I'm not going to say it just in case it gets flubbed. We got a couple of neat ones coming up. Some games that are not easy to find, not actually out on the market too well, and we do have copies of, so we're going to stay tuned for that. But until then, you can check out everything we have at reviewandroast.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast, and you can find me on Twitter at xorsonx. You can find me on Snapchat at xorsonx. You can find me on Instagram at Slevin77. You can find Brian at Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find Mike on Twitter and Instagram at Review and Roast. So until then,
yay.
We'll see you next week.